Well, I didn't know I was going to be a superhero today. This is pretty awesome. I do want to say, again, thank you to the children for all that they have done and to all of you for your generosity. Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today's gospel lesson needs to be put into a little bit of context. This parable that Jesus tells about the two sons comes during Holy Week. So in the Gospel of Matthew, you remember that Jesus rides into Jerusalem for the last time on a donkey. And he goes directly to the temple, where he has a little bit of a tantrum, turns the tables, and he tells them that they've turned his father's house into a den of robbers. Really not what the temple leaders were looking for him to do. And then he goes home, or out of the city. And then he comes back the next day, and this is what happens the next day. So the temple leaders are already kind of a little irritated with this Jesus guy. And so they ask him a question, trying to draw him out, trying to get the people to be against him, trying to show Jesus as a fraud, to show him up in some way. And they ask, by whose authority do you do these things? And Jesus, ever the teacher, answers their question with a question. I love that. And it was a question, of course, that he knew his accusers would not be able to answer. And so they were left simply to say, I don't know. And then Jesus, because I think he knew the gravity of the situation and what was about to happen, kind of takes it one step further. As I like to say, he gave them a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. It is this parable and the couple that follow are really meant to show the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those temple leaders, that they really don't get it. But I think, and we can all laugh about that, right? We can all laugh at them for being sort of the people who think that they're all high and mighty, who think that they are, you know, representing God and God's love and God's wisdom. But when what they're really doing is creating a whole bunch of rules and forgetting to care about the things that God cares about, forgetting to care about the widows, forgetting to care about the orphans, forgetting to care about the people on the margins who aren't a part of the society, but that need a word of hope and some building up. So Jesus tells this parable about two sons. The first one, the father says, go out into my vineyard. And he's like, nah, I got other things to do. I'm not going to do that. But later on, there was something troubled in his heart. And he said, you know, I really should get this done for my dad. And he goes out and he does it. And the father had gone to the second son and said the same thing. I need you to go out and work in my vineyards. And the son was like, yeah, no problem, dude, I gotcha, totally, 100%, I'll be right there. And then never goes. I think, if I'm honest with myself, very often I am that second son. There are a lot of things that God has asked me to do over the course of my life that I have just sort of said, yeah, that sounds like a really cool idea. Nope, really, I don't want to go there. I'll get distracted. I got a few, you know, Words with Friends games I got to do on my phone before I... But I'll get to that, right? I have to wash the cat. I have to, I don't know, go bake a batch of cookies because I can, and I really think chocolate would help me decide that I wanted to go and actually do this work. But what I'm saying is that Christianity has a problem in our world, not because of anything that Jesus taught, not because of any example that he gave, but because of the way that people who call themselves Christians behave. We are just as egotistical, we are just as greedy, we are just as selfish, we are just as self-absorbed, we are just as distractible, we are just as conceited as everyone else. And that's not surprising because we're people. And quite honestly, that is the human condition, that we are built to take care of ourselves first. That self-preservation gene is a really strong one. It helped us get, evolutionarily speaking, to where we are now. We do that. And it is really the troubling spirit of God is the only thing that can break us out of that sometimes. Paul's letter to the Philippians is one of those places where I think he's being a little bit intentionally disruptive when he talks about think of the needs of others before you. Don't think, you know, have the attitude of humility. Don't think of yourself first, but think of others as better than you. And we had a lot of discussion on Wednesday morning about that whole idea of should we really think of others as better than us, or should we just think of others as our equals? Because we're all equal in God's eyes, and that's, I think, the beauty of the gospel. But I think the beauty of Paul's words is that he's right. And then until we start thinking of others first, we won't be disturbed enough to at least reach to the point that there are equals. Because we are so used to it. Humility, obedience to God, these are not things that our culture tends to value. We live in a world that tells us to be self-sufficient, to be self-actualized, that we can do it ourselves. We are self-made men and women. Because that is who we are. That's the mythology of our culture. And Jesus' lesson today throws that up. We are made to be in relationship. We are made to be known and to know others. We are made to be in community. We aren't lone wolves. We cannot survive that way. We certainly cannot thrive that way. And so I guess I leave you on this last Sunday with a message that we are called as a church to reach out to those around us, to our neighbors, to strangers, to be a different kind of people, to be people that look to the needs of those around them before they look to their own needs, that care about the children of our community as much as they care about the children in their own homes. I was on the school board in Middleton for 6 years. I heard lots of stories and talked to lots of people. It was an amazing experience to be an elected politician. And it gives me great humility when thinking about and complaining about all of the politicians in our world today. Because it is amazing how crass and how mean people can be if they think that they are anonymous. It's amazing the words that people will say to you if they think you have some power over them. Really, as a school board member, I had no power to do anything. But people seem to think I did. But one of the things that really, really hurt to the core of my being was a meeting I was at of a group of parents. It was about a busing issue, and they were all concerned and didn't know why those children had to ride the bus with their children. And I really, really, really wanted to just rip it open and tell them what I thought of that. But I didn't. A little bit of restraint was good. But to just remind people that they are all our children. Whether they personally live in your homes or not, they are all our children. They are all God's children. We need to fight that tendency to draw lines and boundaries. We need to listen to those troubles, the way that God troubles our heart, to draw us out of our comfort zones, to draw us into the world, to draw us into our neighborhoods in ways that lift people up. This is indeed the people that God needs us to be, the people that God calls us to be. Givers of hope, lovers of those things that Christ loved. Amen.